Good evening. I call order the Monroe Public Schools Board of Education meeting. Today is February 24th, 2026, and the time is 5:30 p.m. Jamie, can we have roll call, please?
Yes, Mr. Heck.
Here.
Mr. Jenkins.
Here.
Ms. Myers.
Here.
Mr. Sabadini.
Here.
Mrs. Taurasi.
Here.
Can we please stand for the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we begin, please note the meeting is being live-streamed and recorded. There are two cameras in use this evening, one focused on the Board of Education, and another one will be used for any public commentary or presentations. By participating in this meeting, you acknowledge that you may be captured on video. As a reminder, if you wish to address the board during public commentary, please fill out one of the slips, which should be in the back corner, and hand it in to Jamie, our administrative assistant, and you will be put on the schedule during the public commentary time. Superintendent Shaw, are there any additions or deletions to the agenda this evening?
Yes, we do have one, new business item B3C, SEL discussion.
Can I get a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
Tom, can I also add an agenda item, please, under new business?
Yes, you can make that motion.
Okay.
Well, you can just add
I don't need it to be a motion, I just need support for it.
Okay, go ahead.
I would like to address the administrative sub-hiring under personnel.
Okay, very good. So can I get a motion to approve the agenda with the two additional items added to new business?
I'm going to support his addition to it, and then I will approve the agenda as stated with items C and D added as new business.
Okay. Can I get support?
Support.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, Jamie, can we have roll call, please?
Yes, Mr. Jenkins.
Yes.
Ms. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Sabadini.
Yes.
Mrs. Taurasi.
Yes.
Mr. Heck.
Yes, and the motion carries. Next, I'll turn it over to Superintendent Shaw for his superintendent comments.
All right, well, our first one we have tonight is CTE month, as you can see up on the big screen. And so we have Mrs. Morelli with us tonight and our students. And so, ma'am, it's all yours.
Good evening. Thanks for having us tonight. February is CTE month, and I'm Leah Morelli, the Career and Technical Education Director for Monroe Public Schools. And we've done a lot of discussion about CTE in the past couple of months. You've heard presentations about the programs and the program data and enrollment. And when you were at the school for the tours, you got to tour some of the labs. So tonight, I decided we were going to focus on leadership in CTE and talk about the things that happen in our CTE classes that aren't necessarily specific to that career field, that are transferable skills, no matter what the students want to do when they leave high school and they leave CTE. It's our job to prepare them for the workforce or for college when they leave our doors. And we have different pathways to do that. We have manufacturing, and we have business, and we have health science, health and human services. But regardless of the pathway that the student is in, when they leave, I want them to take a skill set that will help them be successful in the working world, the college world, whatever that next step is. So we have a lot of different ways that we celebrate leadership in CTE. One of the first ways that we do that is through what we call our CTE Ambassador Program. And I brought a staff member with me, Mrs. Pillarelli, who the students affectionately refer to as Mrs. P, because I think they have a hard time saying Pillarelli without butchering it some days. But Mrs. P helps guide the ship with our CTE Ambassador Program, and I'm going to let her speak about that for a minute before the students speak about their program and what some of the things that they've gotten to experience mean to them.
Hello, I'm Mrs. P. So we started the Ambassadors in 2019, and that was my first year out of industry coming into the high school, and we thought of it as a way to recognize some of our kids that maybe show a little bit of, you know, maybe they excel in the classes they take. It gives them a chance to do things in our community, things like this, which can be a little uncomfortable, you know, if you're not used to it. They help us with all of our open houses. They speak with parents. They speak with student tours. We just recently took all the eighth graders through the building, and they helped corral them, and they got to see, like, what it's like, you know, being in charge of the younger ones. They go through a nomination process where their teachers nominate who they think, you know, excels, not just because they have the best grades or best, you know, academics. It's like who has leadership, who excels in their field, who can talk to people, who has the personality, all those kind of things rolled into one. So we're always really proud of our kids. We kind of get to know them a little bit better than some of our others. So we use them for all of the things that we need. And they've just been really great. So I think that you'd probably rather hear from them. So.
Oh, I did not mean to do that. So the first program that we're going to kind of highlight is our largest program at the high school, which is our health science program. And another thing that is very important in career and technical education are community partnerships. This program in particular has had a long-standing relationship that goes back with our local hospital, back when it was Mercy Memorial Hospital. Since it changed over to ProMedica, they've continued to be a partner with us. But our advanced health science students have an opportunity to do an application and apply to this program. And they travel to the hospital 3 days a week and job shadow in the different departments, looking at what the different career options are out there in hospital-based medicine. They hear from many guest speakers that aren't in hospital-based medicine throughout the first 2 years of the program, but this is kind of a capstone experience that is for seniors only because of the age requirements and HIPAA policies and all the other things that have to be agreed to go and do this experience. I don't have a health cluster student here with me tonight, but I brought another student that I think has a very unique perspective about our health science program because she is not a Monroe High School student. I won't give her story away. But Kinsey, if you want to come up and talk about.
Hello. I'm Kinsey Arnold. I'm a 10th grade student at Ida High School who comes to Monroe High School every morning for first and second hour to take the health science classes. I think it was really cool for me because it gave me the opportunity to get some experience in the field that I'm thinking about going into the future, but my home school didn't have those opportunities, so the CTE program helps bring me here and get to experience some of that. I think my favorite thing about being in the health science classes is it's a break from a normal classroom setting, and we get to try new things and learn hands-on and get some experience of the careers that kind of involve that field that we might want to go into without necessarily making that full decision. So you get a little preview a little bit. And it also gave me the opportunity to participate in HOSA, which is Health Occupation Students of America, and we get to compete with our classmates in different healthcare-related subjects. And I'm really excited because we're going to Traverse City next for the next phase of the competition.
Thank you.
I'm a former HOSA member.
The next career cluster we're going to focus on is our manufacturing cluster. And we have a student here that is going to be taking a project to MITES. So when we talk about leadership and CTSOs in our world, everything has an acronym, right? So a CTSO is a career and technical student organization. They are one of the things that are nationwide. But our statewide competition starts locally. The students create projects. Last year, if you remember, at the end of the year in the spring in May, we had a group of students. The picture on the left there is our group of construction students that went and competed in the live build competition and took first place. That was part of MITES, which is one of our leadership opportunities for students. And I have a student here that has had more than just the construction program that he's going to speak to for the manufacturing cluster.
Hello there. My name is Gary Wethouse III, and I'm a senior in high school. And I'm actually a part of all four of our CTE classes, our engineering, welding, automotive, and construction classes. And honestly, my favorite thing about all of these classes is the competitions, because that's where we take our skills that we learned in the classroom to the real world. This is where we can put them to the test and see how good we've come. I will say that I wish there were more competitions for, say, engineering or automotive, but right now we only have welding and construction, but those are both fun. I know that we also have the Trojan build, as you can see. We're working on that, and we're almost done with it this year, and that's probably another one of my favorite parts of the construction side of the MITES program. And, yeah, that's about it.
I don't have anybody here this evening, unfortunately, to speak about our future educators program. To our two ambassadors, one is working this evening, the other one just had knee surgery, so she couldn't be here. But I wanted to highlight this because these students go into our elementary classrooms, which is not necessarily a community partnership outside of our district, but they are leaving the high school and getting into classrooms and working hand in hand with the teachers in those classrooms to find out what that would feel like and look like if that's a career that they want to try to pursue. We do have a community partnership with the intermediate school district as well, and these students go and work once a week with the students, the special education students at the ISD, in addition to the days that they travel and work with MPS elementary students. And when we talk about leadership, leadership looks can look and feel very different depending on the content area and depending on what we have going on. But when you are trusting our students to go out and represent Monroe Public Schools out into the community, outside of the school system, you have to trust and mentor that leadership so that they represent us well. And I'm always very, very proud of the work that they do. They help with some of the end of the year productions at the ISD with those students and everything. So unfortunately, I don't have a student to speak about that, but I thought that was important to highlight. The next cluster we're going to focus on is our business cluster, and we have two students here to speak about that, and I'm going to let them take it away.
My name is Seth Wozniak, and I'm a freshman at Monroe High School. Even though I haven't gotten to take that many CTE classes yet, I have already learned a lot. I'm in digital multimedia, which is the Photoshop class at Monroe High. And digital multimedia is mostly self-paced, so it has helped me learn a lot of time management skills, how to meet deadlines. And even though I might not want to pursue Photoshop past this class, those skills are going to stay with me in wherever I want to go after high school.
Hi, I'm Rooney Scholes. I'm a 10th grader here at Monroe, and I've taken a lot of the business CTE classes throughout my time here so far. I've taken marketing one, office management one, and finance and accounting one. And I just love how like different it is than the rest of my classes, because you have to come to school each day and like learn the core classes, but then this is kind of like your choice, what you want to learn. And it's provided me with so much information about future careers in business. But also, I think a key thing that it's taught me is just life skills, like how to shake someone's hand and look them in the eye, like when you're talking, and also how to write emails, that because I did not know how to do that before I got here professionally. So yeah, I think that's just some great things about the business, career, and technical education classes here. And I'm also in BPA, which is Business Professionals of America, which is a competition where you compete in business events, and there's really everything to compete in. There's cybersecurity, marketing, finance, accounting, office management, like Microsoft Word and Excel. And I'm only a sophomore, so I joined last year as a freshman, and I kind of got my feet in the water and learned about it, and I competed, which I did not make it to states last year, but this year I wasn't able to compete because I was out of town, but I plan on doing it all 4 years and hopefully making it to the state and national competitions. But even just last year when I was at the regional conference, I was able to meet other people from around the area who are interested in business, and it kind of like showed me how like connections are in the real world, because that's especially like a thing in business, is connecting with people, so you always have someone that kind of remembers you and you're able to talk to in the future. So I think it's just, that's my favorite thing about CTE, is how you're able to really use all these skills in the real world. So, thank you.
Thank you.
So that's the end of our different clusters to highlight, and we could stand up here and talk all evening, but I know you have a big agenda. But I just wanted to thank you for having us. Thank you for helping us celebrate CTE Month. February comes around, and that happens every year, and sometimes the time gets away from us. So this year I tried to get a hold of Andy and David early and say, hey, can you please put us on an agenda? We would really like to come and talk about some of the great things that we have going on. But we also want to say thank you to the board for always being extremely supportive to CTE. I know we come to you with some heavy lifts, with asks for purchasing and saying yes to different overnight trips, and these competitions require travel, and you've always been very supportive of that, and we just want to say thank you.
Leah, how many students total do you have in CTE programs right now?
At the high school this year, the number is just over 700.
Wow.
That's which great. Is down about 100 because really? Of fashion design.
Oh.
But still, a very large percent of our students get to experience right. CTE, and we have some students that come from Orchard for CTE
okay,
and
great.
From some of those other programs as well. But yeah,
okay,
it's a big group.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you to all of you that helped with the tours throughout the CTE program the last time we were through. I learned something in the health field that I didn't know, so they taught me something there. But just to see everything that you do and the leadership team as they led us through was just wonderful, so thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Leah. Thank you very much for coming, and I appreciate it so much. So again, great job, students, staff. Parents, thank you also for coming tonight, supporting your students also. And you're more than welcome to stay, but if you quietly step out, that is also acceptable too.
Is that it? Okay, public commentary. Brian, do we have any public commentary for board agenda items?
I do not believe so.
Okay. Next is board discussion and action items, and we have our staffing and contracted service reports. Is there any discussion from board members on those reports?
Turn myself on here. On the staffing report with EduStaff, and Andy, I know Cindy isn't here tonight, but I'm just kind of wondering why we used to get like the monthly changes. We have three pages of staffing changes, so it appears like there's just a ton of changes, but any reason why they're piling up for months?
I'm not sure if that was...
It just makes it look like it's
Looks big, like there's a lot there. I don't know if it was just because I know we do this every single month,
right.
Why it wouldn't be without going back and looking at the prior month to see if it's just a typo right here as far as those being left on there from one month to the next.
I was just curious. You see what I'm saying?
No, I see it back in December and January.
It seemed like there was a lot in the transportation department maybe.
And custodial as well.
And custodial.
Yeah.
So I think that.
And technology. Well, technology has its share this time.
Yeah.
I have to invite you in somehow. You're welcome.
I do understand we have one new hire here tonight, Brett Carveth. If you want to come up to the and introduce yourself and give us a little background.
So I'm Brett Carveth. I actually graduated from Monroe High School in 2009. I worked for Arborwood Elementary from 2017 to 2019. I was then the pupil accounting specialist here from 2019 to 2021. I've been at Ann Arbor and Airport since, but I am very happy to return home because I have missed it here.
And what is going to be your
position? I will now be the accounting supervisor in the business office.
Okay. Thank you. Welcome aboard.
Welcome back.
No, you've got to be related to Rick, right?
He's my father-in-law.
Okay.
Welcome.
Welcome to Carpet.
Is this a
rebuild position? Yeah, so our one person is retiring. She's retiring. It was announced 3 months ago.
That's
would have been.
We're caught up.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Nope, that's okay.
I know what was on one of the most recent.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
We're having a
little overlap for training.
That's all right. Thanks.
Next is a consent agenda. Are there any items the board members like to move off of the consent agenda or and moved over to new business? Hearing none, can I get a motion to support items in B2A as a consent agenda?
I move that agenda items B2A be considered as a consent agenda and the consent agenda items be approved as recommended.
Do I have support?
Support.
Any discussion? Hearing none, Jamie, can we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Ms. Myers?
Yes.
Mr. Sabadini?
Yes.
Mrs. Taurasi?
Yes.
Mr. Jenkins?
Yes.
Mr. Heck?
Yes, and the motion carries. Before we move into new business, I want to provide some background and context of our agenda items, including the ones we've added tonight. All the items on our agenda have been either discussed in depth at a prior work session or have been addressed in our weekly board briefs. So even though we kind of move through these a little bit quickly, we want the public to know that they've been thoroughly discussed and we've done our due diligence and review prior to tonight's meeting. Also, as a reminder, all our work sessions are open to the public and they are live streamed as well now. I'll turn it over to Mr. Mel Lopsy for the Monroe High School Orchestra Chicago Overnight Trip.
Thank you, Mr. President. We ask the board to move to approve the Monroe High School Orchestra trip to Chicago, Illinois, taking place from April 9th, 2027 through April 11th, 2027, according to the terms and policies of the Monroe Public Schools Board of Education.
Can I get a motion regarding the Chicago overnight trip for the orchestra?
I move that to approve the Monroe High School Orchestra trip to Chicago, taking place from April 9th to April 11th of 2027, according to the terms and policies of the Monroe Public School Board of Education.
Do I have support?
Support.
Any discussion? Hearing none, Jamie, can we have a roll call, please?
Yes, Mr. Sabadini.
Yes.
Mrs. Taurasi.
Yes.
Mr. Jenkins.
Yes.
Ms. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Heck.
Yes, and the motion carries.
There was a lot of information provided, so thank you for that. Made it easy. And thank you, whoever put that together.
Thank you, Olivia, for putting that together. Thank you, Mr. President. We ask the board to move to approve the Monroe High School World Language Department international trip to Barcelona and Madrid, Spain, taking place from June 15, 2027 through June 22, 2027, according to the terms and policies of the Monroe Public Schools Board of Education.
Can I get a motion regarding the overnight trip to Spain?
I'll make a motion. And move to approve Monroe High School World Language Department international trip to Barcelona and Madrid, Spain, taking place June 15th, 2027 through June 22nd, 2027, according to the terms and policies of Monroe Public Schools Board of Education.
Do I have support?
Support.
Discussion?
Again, whoever put all the information together, thank you. It's a lot of good stuff. So whoever did that, I appreciate it. Thank you.
I also want to figure out how at least one board member gets to attend one of these trips.
4,500.
We like to be invited. We like to be invited.
Only those of us that had a couple years of college Spanish can go.
Yes.
I was French.
Si, senor.
David, roughly how many students do you expect?
We are hoping to at least get 18.
Oh, wow.
Jefferson has already 16 signed up.
That's right. Wow.
Great. Good attendance. Okay. Hearing no more discussion, Jamie, can we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Mrs. Taurasi.
Yes.
Mr. Jenkins.
Yes.
Ms. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Sabadini.
Yes.
Mr. Heck.
Yes. And the motion carries. Next on our new business agenda is the discussion on the social emotional learning. Did you like to start us off since it was your...
Sure, yep. Sure. One of the, we've had this conversation for quite a while. I know back, my notes go to June of last year when we were given the packet of information on the total program of SEL, and that raised a lot of questions. So since then, there have been a lot of questions. There's been a lot of requests for data. There's been a lot of requests for how much the cost of it is, the amount of time that's being spent on it. And I don't know that if we need any more information on it or where we as a board stand. Social-emotional learning is not part of a curriculum for which we've approved. You know, some may say whether you need to approve that or not. You know, I say it's essentially a part of a curriculum because it's structured and the way that things and the tenets that it go. So, you know, I wanted to, we wanted to put this on here and say, you know, do we want to discuss this anymore? Do we need more discussion on it? Or what do we want to do with social emotional learning as a component of the Monroe Public Schools education program?
I guess maybe, Terry, this is for you. As far as the curriculum that we're using for SEL, I think TRAILS is part of that. Does it encompass other components of the curriculum, or is it strictly TRAILS?
There is one other component
that we did share with the board that was appointed a number of years ago. It's called MindUp curriculum, and it's used at the elementary level, and it is a book of resources that teaches children like how their brain functions and some regulatory, self-regulatory types of skills.
Okay.
But other than that, I'm not aware of any other curriculum resources that are used.
Is that used K through 6 or above?
Darren, I might need your help on this one. Angela.
It's K-12. The TRAILS is, and it's implemented different. Right, it's implemented differently. Like one time per quarter at the high school, 20-minute lessons per week at the middle school in Orchard.
Oh, mind up.
Thanks.
Yeah, I was pulling out the packet of information that you provided, and it lists those. I was just showing Tom list out those things for SEL, the SEL strategy, and it goes. The packet was very good and full of information. The WISC model was included in there, you know, the process for which trauma-based learning is the tenet of. So,
do we feel like PBIS without SEL is extremely compromised, or what's the feeling from Terry and Dave and any experts here?
I don't know that you can have a successful PBIS program if you don't have some type of social emotional learning components attached to it. So when you think about, like, PBIS is all about positive behaviors, so you have to teach children what those positive behaviors are. And so, like, when you think about a school setting, you know, you're bringing 20-some children together to share a space for 7-ish hours a day, or a group of students who are together for a class period, hundreds of students who are together underneath the same roof. And, like, we need to teach children how to coexist in those spaces. And it's everything from teaching them how to line up safely, how to walk in the hallway, how to ask for help when they need help, how to share resources, you know, how to handle situations when someone might call you a name and it hurts your feelings. So it's pretty all-encompassing, and I don't know that you can separate the two.
You said, yeah.
I would agree with Terry. I think at the secondary level, it looks a little bit different. Like, they look at the data that they gather through Kickboard, and they decide, well, this is an area either of the building or, I mean, as a middle school administrator, like, you know, it's like a hand grenade and horseshoes, the paper towels in the bathroom. Like, if it's close, it counts, you know, and there's just stuff around the floor. So that would be something at a middle school or a junior high that you would look at and talk to students about. You know, the gentleman that were here last night, you know, that is like a tier two or tier three for some. That is a reactive opportunity for students that may need the help. But what you saw from the majority of what you saw from Jackie, and then if you go back to June or July of last year, is that's what everybody gets. That's proactive teaching, how to respond to conflict, how to respond when someone takes your seat in the cafeteria or bumps you in the hallway, self-management. You know, those are things that we talk about as a board in our discipline hearings, but those are proactive measures that we take with our students, you know, counting to 10, deep breathing. Those are all things that are embedded with trails that we want to see in our students.
And is there a cost to trails that's ongoing?
Not to trails. Trails is just a very small packaged piece that was provided free. 700 schools in Michigan use trails. Terry, what were you going to say?
What's MindUp? Is there a cost on MindUp? Sorry.
No, there's no cost on MindUp. We purchased those books for teachers a while ago. But I was just going to say, every building has a PBIS team. And when those teams convene, they do look at the data for their schools in Kickboard. And then they use that data to make decisions around, you know, different goals that they might have. So they look at, you know, what the most frequent behavior concerns are that they're experiencing, what time of day those are taking place, where they're taking place, and put interventions into place then to hopefully lower those incidents.
So if I was just looking at manpower, and I think I did the numbers on just mm-hmm. manpower on this, it's roughly $3.8 million that we spend for behavioral technicians, all that. I just lumped them all together. I think there was 13 and it was roughly 3.5?
From that presentation that yep. Jack yep. did, yes.
Roughly.
It was roughly that, yep.
Right. Okay.
Which is a spread between general fund, grants, too. And so it's not just a general fund expenditure.
So if you're looking at our overall budget, 3.5 of $72 million is not insignificant.
Oh, no. No, but what we did is that when we put that number out there, that was showing you, so you have social workers.
Sure.
You have school counselors, and then you have our deans, okay, and then you have restorative practice people. And so when you start to peel the onion back, is where do you go? And so, and then when we're asked about, okay, what do we spend on social emotional learning, all of these people that we shared the other night, they all have a component into this and reinforcement of particular skills and or what's in need.
So so my I understand those that believe that social emotional learning is the way to teach and that stuff needs to be taught. But I also want to say, without the social-emotional program for the way that it's laid out, those things that you described, David, are things that we teach all the time. Teachers have taught for generations and didn't need an entire social-emotional learning program in order to do that. And so the tenets of this program go way beyond that. Those are those everyday things that teachers teach as all people teach. You know, we all teach those things throughout our life with the kids and the grandkids and everybody else. So the actual social-emotional learning is a proponent that goes way beyond that. And to suggest that it doesn't go deeper than that isn't totally giving it credence to truly what it is, which is why it's very controversial. We know that SEL, when it really became a really big thing, it became very controversial because there are those that are proponents of it, and they can see or believe the how can it be successful. But also there's proponents that says, look, if we are focusing on a discipline-based education system that is the tenets of PBIS and SEL, and we're spending $3.8 million or $5 million on it, we had 48 staff members listed as a part of that, and we take those efforts and we put them on education and teaching and whatnot, is there an idea that says that would be more beneficial to the education system? There's a proponent of it that says yes. There's statistics and data that supports that as well. You put your money and your energy into the education, and you deal with other things as they come up. So the idea would be, the way it was presented to us in the packet that we received back in June and throughout the conversations was, yes, there are differences. Yes, they do meet differently. Yes, they focus on different things. And so through all of that, I understand that SEL has now been interwoven throughout the entire day, but trauma-based learning does not have to be taught. We don't need to teach trauma-based learning. We don't need to put that into our curriculum in order to be successful. I understand that there's a thought for that, but I'm not a proponent of that because our scores don't reflect that. They're not reflecting that is contributing to our education process.
Can you dive just a little further for me? When you say trauma-based learning, are you reflecting more on...
What was the language that was in... Say what it is.
Informed.
That's it. Sorry, I missed.
Trauma informed.
Right.
Yes.
So what you're saying is teachers or adults in buildings should not have any concept of students that have faced trauma and how.
Never said that.
That's what I'm asking.
No, I never said that. What I do understand is that school systems that do not have a social emotional learning problem. Or social emotional learning within their system has the avenue to address those. No one has suggested that PBIS go away. When we listen to Jackie and we listen to what she puts in place and the process and the rubrics and peer-to-peer and stuff, not all of that is SEL. SEL goes beyond that, and that's what we've been told. So, yes, there's social workers. Yes, there's whatnot. Where no one's suggesting that. But when you look at social emotional learning as a program and as a curriculum, we understand that it is something different.
So, okay, so I want to make sure I got the complete clarity. So, what you're focusing on is using TRAILS as a system in our district of consistency, because that's what really TRAILS is providing. We think about all of our buildings. It provides consistency on what our teachers are using in this mode. So is that the curriculum you're discussing right now then?
So TRAILS is a program that can operate in and of itself. We understand that, right? It's a program that can be utilized to help the students in the way that it's been. That is not necessarily social-emotional learning at its tenet. It may be a basis of it, but it's not the time that's spent in all of the time. What did we hear last time? Someone said that there's three times a week. How many times a week? Because we asked the question. I did not have time.
Once
to go
is
back.
The maximum amount per week. That
the
students,
younger grades, it said it was more often.
Students receive tier one.
Yes.
Students who receive tier one instruction weekly, it's 55% of Monroe Public Schools.
That wasn't what I was referring to. I guess I'm trying to understand why we have picked up the social emotional learning curriculum. We have it, we talk about it, we understand what it is, but to say that we can't live without it, I disagree. There are school systems all over the nation that are living without that, and I think that it's not necessary, and I am not a proponent of it, and I guess that's where I stand.
So I want to bring clarity, though, is when you say social-emotional curriculum, I need you to be specific of what is so, because
I'm just going by what you all, like you put CASEL in here.
Right, 80% of schools in the U.S. implement social-emotional learning.
So we're going to go back to the statistics.
You just said that there are a multitude of schools that don't do it. I don't.
So we...
20% nationwide.
Right.
So when you
so there's we went through this before because we had looked at these stats before, and so we had a discussion on this, and I responded back because I did a research. There's approximately 95,000 public school systems. I only went through the public school systems within the nation, and of those, only approximately 1% were showing data as using social emotional learning.
Kickboard.
That's not PBIS.
Kickboard.
Okay.
1% use Kickboard.
Okay.
And I guess that's because I want to make sure we're talking about the exact same thing. That's why I go back to when you say the curriculum, is it that you're requesting that Monroe Public Schools not use the Trails or Mind Up or anything when it comes to, like, for example, like when we talk about, Terry was even going over with Trails about when it comes to consistency, what we do. Teaching in the classroom about lining up or how to handle a behavior that's creating a conflict between Tom and I or a situation. And so that's I guess, when you say curriculum, I want to be specific because when we think about, like, our math, we have a math curriculum where we have, ELA has a specific curriculum. And that's when, so when you're saying that's all I want to bring clarity to is that the ask?
So when was Trails brought in? It's been before your time?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
How long?
Just before. I would say it's borderline. It was provided free to Monroe Public Schools through a grant from the ISD.
Yeah, I don't know.
It hasn't been over 5 years.
Roughly.
Yeah.
Close.
Yeah. It's not been longer than that. The Mind Up curriculum was about 10 years ago that came in. This is the data that we received. Yeah. From before. So, you know, I say whenever you start a program and you bring it in and you look at the success of that program, we're here for educational learning. So you look at the numbers, you look at what our students are doing, you look at the proficiency rates, and this has not shown to improve that in any way. And what I'm suggesting is then why are we continuing that? Those things, Andy, that you bring up, teachers have taught for decades. It is part of a curriculum. Okay, students, I'm not a teacher, so I'm not pretending to be one, but come in the classroom, line up, get yourself set up, you know, put your book bag in the thing. These are things that teachers teach all the time. We don't need a social-emotional learning program to put in place in order for them to organize their own classrooms, to teach students how to walk down the hallway, how to talk to each other. So again, I understand that it's something that has been put in place to try. I don't see any success in it. I don't, not for scores and not for grades. So when we look at what are we going to spend our money on, there always has to be a point where you evaluate the system for which you're using and saying, show me the successes in that.
So that's
where I stand with this. I don't see the successes in it. I don't see our academics going up. And I think we should take those monies and those funds and those resources and try them in a different avenue.
We don't have any staff that are directly paid to implement Trails. We don't have a single staff member in our district that they are paid directly to implement Trails in our system.
I didn't say Trails.
But that's the curriculum. And so that's the question, is when you say the curriculum, that's the curriculum. So if that's what you want us to stop teaching, then when you're saying, okay, that's a budgetary thing, whom would then not have a job because it's embedded?
We're not talking about people not having jobs. That's not the point of this. The point of this is Monroe Public Schools decided they were going to implement social-emotional learning as part of the curriculum and PBIS and turn it into a discipline-based education system. We're all aware of that. We all know that that's been the focus, and that's been implemented for several years now. I'm saying, where's the outcome? We have been asking and asking since last June about the statistics, where's the data, where's the proof, what are we seeing, how are there improvements, where are things at, and to date, our grades and our academics have not shown improvement for implementing this, so my suggestion is, let's put our resources elsewhere.
I agree with Darla. We have to change. You know, I'm not going to sit here and blow sunshine up anybody's butt. I know what our test scores are. I know where we stand in the state. I know where state of Michigan stands in the country. Michigan's 44th out of 50 states, and we're at the very bottom of Michigan. Our academics have to come first. You know, I'm going to take a little different tact on this, okay? I've been on this board for 1 year. And when I walked in, they said we had a $2 million shortfall, okay? It was all taken care of. Going forward, everything's good. November will be fine. Well, in that time, in 1 year, for political reasons, I'm going to be right up front, the governor of the state of Michigan screwed us out of $700,000, money we didn't have. And then the state legislator, both parties, turned around and screwed us again because they couldn't get along. And so we had to borrow $3 million, $100,000 of which went on interest on that loan, money we didn't have. And now we're involved with this Chet Hessen thing with legal fees. God only knows what that's going to cost. And then we've been told that we have a $5 million deficit shortfall coming up, okay? Something has to get cut, whether we like it or not. We can get $3.8 million just from eliminating SEL. That's almost to the $5 million that we need. Something is going to get cut.
It's primarily PPS.
And I'm going to try as a board member to do whatever I can to avoid cuts to academics, to athletics, to the CTE program. We don't have the money. 65% of the people in this district are in poverty. This is the reality. Our test scores are at the bottom. This is reality. I think our resources need to go toward academics. What we have has to go to academics until our kids do better. Everything else is a luxury. That's my opinion. I'm going to make a motion here in a moment when the discussion is over regarding this.
So when we're talking about money,
yes, sir.
Back to the dollar values, does if we stop Trails and said, well, we're not doing social emotional learning, does that automatically mean we're looking at registered behavioral technicians going away? I mean, obviously that stuff's going to stay for this year. It's already done for this year. But moving into 26, 27, if we said we're done with social emotional learning, would what people would go away? In a hypothetical situation, I'm not holding anybody to. I'm trying to get an understanding of what that would look like.
So
we're talking about saving money, which I agree with Gary, but I have to know I'm actually saving money. I'm not talking about a possible savings of money.
Right.
So one of the things that our role of the board is to create policy, set the way we want the school to go, and then it becomes the great job of the administrative staff and the teachers and everybody to implement those plans. So when we look at this, that would be the objective, Brian, is to be able to cut some costs and save some money in that avenue and focus the funds we do have on academics. So when we put something in place, it would have to be the administrative's role to be able to implement that in the way that we are able to cut funds in ways that don't impact negatively the academics, but also follows through with that. So I don't know that we can give you a number. They gave us a number. So, you know, I don't know what the total.
I think this is a tough conversation we're having here, and it's good to have a tough conversation.
It's a tough one.
Right? Because if you have behavioral problems that start occurring, then you're also affecting academics. So I think this is a fine line, a tightrope. I know my wife, we talk a lot about social-emotional learning, and it isn't exactly this all-encompassing thing we're talking about. It's taking 10 minutes out of a day to talk about how you self-regulate, those type of things. So I want to be careful when we brand social-emotional learning as something that we completely understand what we're talking about. Now, I don't disagree with Darla, and I don't disagree with Gary on the standpoint of academics are important. That's the most important thing we do here. But I think we also have to be mindful that if we need registered behavioral technicians, if we need people to help in these ways, you're having an effect on academics if it goes away, or a possible effect on academics if it goes away. Go ahead, Tom.
Something I would propose is in April, we're going to have a work session to look very specifically at the budget for next year, getting down into the details. I think that would be a good time for us to discuss the $3.5 million regarding PBS, SEL, and how that fits into the budget for next year and any potential cuts there versus cuts everywhere.
So on March 9th and on April 13th, we're going to go into these things. What I would say is please let us continue to do the work. Your administration has already been going to work on this, and especially because the vast majority of the money that we're talking about right now, these are called grant funds. Grant funds do not do anything for the general fund.
But a lot of this is general fund money.
But it's not.
But the grants can also have be able to be used for different things, Andy. We can't just say it's just
grant. Give me a second here. The grant funds, yes, can be used for a lot of other mechanisms.
Right.
But when we want to get down to the whole idea around what the general fund takes on, the general fund pays for athletics, the general fund pays for administration, the general fund pays for custodians, the general fund pays for bus drivers, the general fund pays for teachers. That's what the general fund does. You can't use any other monies to pay for an administrator, a bus driver, a teacher in the classroom. So what we have to and what we're going to be presenting to you are ways that we can make the reductions that need to happen. And at the same moment in time, converting over some of the monies that we do spend in 31A and in our other grants so that it can also offset the general fund. All areas in this school district are going to be impacted with these adjustments that will be made. And so that's the March 9th, and then it's even in the April. My caution to you is if all of a sudden you create a motion and that says X, we have to implement X. Well, the problem is we need to do some educating on what all of the stuff is that we actually have going on. That's what March 9th is about. But if all of a sudden you said, okay, no social emotional learning, and or what that entails is that, because it's really, it comes down to positions, because the TRAILS program costs no money. We have people that implement it, teachers that use time right there, but when it gets down to it, when one of our social workers is working with two students, or one of our restorative practice coordinators is working with somebody, or a dean is working with somebody, they're using those skills that has been consistently put into place at Monroe to help reduce so that you guys in this room don't see kids. That's all what this all does there. So understand from a district level, from the administration, we too want to make sure at the same moment in time that we provide a great education system. And the reduction of $5.5 million will still provide a great education system here at Monroe. I want to push back one last time. Our academics in 4 years have come a long ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they're not stopping.
That's good.
Because we have flipped the paradigm. And so we've asked for that patience, because in some grade levels are moving faster than others, but we've said that it's a time thing, and we've made changes in our curriculum to make that happen. But when it comes to this point of it right here, and that's why I know, Darla, I push a little bit, but when we get into when you say curriculum, that is, in our world, curriculum is a tool. It's not a person. And we think about those resources, and that tool, example back to we had Lucy Calkins, we've made that shift now in ELA, right, in the literacy. That's curriculum. And so that's why I ask, when we talk about curriculum, what is that? So I make sure we have that clarity.
So, again, I understand the pushback. I understand the belief in social-emotional learning. I understand the belief in cognitive behavioral therapy. I understand the belief in a discipline-based system. I understand it. That doesn't mean that we've seen successes in that. And when we talk about movement and we talk about improvements, like there has to be a higher rate for which we're moving, and I do not see and I do not believe that this is a component within our school. that is beneficial. So you can agree to disagree with me, and I think that's probably where we're at with it. I think I've kind of explained to myself. I've tried to give it enough of a background. I've been on this since June. I have discussed this, brought this, asked questions. I've asked so many questions about this to try to get to where I see the benefit of this. I just don't see it.
Yeah, I agree with Andy. Things are looking up. If I came across that way, I'm sorry. Things are looking up, and it's really nice when we see that iReady and things are moving into the green. But I have to draw the line. We have reduced our class sizes. We have reorganized our elementary schools. Wonderful things. We can't go back and start putting more kids in the classrooms again. We can't do this anymore. If something has to be cut, it's not going to be from academics. Now, I'm going to speak from experience along with my friend Tom, okay? We never had a high school experience, okay? We were the people that got stuck on half days. It was the most ridiculous situation that you could put a high school kid through. And I'll tell you what, as a board member, I am not going to allow that to ever happen again. It wasn't fair to those kids. It wasn't fair to us. And we suffered for it for many years. My point is the resources of this school system are going to the teachers. They're going to people that are doing actual teaching. If something is beside that, I'm sorry. There's a lot of things I'd like to have, too. I can't get them all. And I realize if we do eliminate SEL, there's going to have to be a reorganization by the administration of trails and mind up. I get it. I totally understand that. But we have to acknowledge the fact that we got to get rid of $5 million. You know, Matt, and I got to back off again. Just sitting here in front of me, I got paperwork that says we got to come up with another $1.5 million for 8 school buses. We don't have $1.5 million sitting around.
I guess, Gary, I would interject, and I would be in agreement with Tom. I'd be willing to hear you out on this plan before I say we kill SEL. That's me, me speaking.
Are you asking me to back off right now?
No, I'm just trying to
understand.
Gary, Gary, I am not asking you to do anything.
Okay.
I'm just stating, for me, I'm much in the mindset of Tom. I'd be willing to listen to what the proposal is, but I'm exactly like you, that nothing will affect classroom sizes or teachers for me. Those are non-negotiables.
Right.
If administrators have to go or other things have to go, then they have to go. But, and I'm not declaring a war on administrators, by the way. I'm just saying teachers are the last line, and it's a line drawn in the sand. I'm not crossing that line. So if I hear on March 9th in our April meeting
it's
that we
be more the April
the April meeting, then the I'm good, because SEL is going to stay for the rest of this year, no matter what we do.
Absolutely, you'll stay the rest of this year.
Can we get numbers on how many staff, other than our teachers, are involved in the SEL?
They gave us the chart, and it was 48. 48.
It's primarily the PBIS.
Yeah. So we have 48 staff members.
I wonder if there's data out there on the 80% of the schools that use the SEL and the 20% that don't.
I would
be more specific.
Right. So I'm not. I would. There's a lot of different data points out there on this, so I'm not sure that my data doesn't
maybe
show the
just
same
data for schools in Monroe County, comparative like Jefferson or Airport.
I don't think anybody around here uses it but us.
I'd like to know that.
But that's right.
No, we're talking about SEL, PBIS, and the way that Monroe County uses it, Monroe Public Schools uses it.
So, Stacy, what is your request for data? Just so we know and understand.
80% of schools in the country use SEL. There's 20% that don't. How are the 20% doing with their social, emotional, things like that going on? Possibly their grades, their, I don't know.
We could try. I think it might be very subjective.
Yeah.
That I think we're, if we're looking for,
on who's doing the
if
study,
we're looking for some sort of hard data, I'm not sure that it.
Right. Because people use certain components of it. Some people are using some of the PBIS stuff, and then some people are doing everything, which is essentially what we're doing with SEL included into it. So they've been intertwined in our system, and that's what the component of this is. Is
what's
that?
So what's
I'm just wondering what the
say
other 20% is doing.
I don't know that that number's correct, is what I'm saying. I don't know that
that's so obviously Adrian uses it, correct?
Well, I don't know what they're using. Yeah. I'm just saying what I see when she does lesson planning.
Yeah.
This is how it works. Mm-hmm. I guess were we looking at a range where the world is all SEL or the world's non-SEL? I don't think those two are. I don't think those are two poles that exist.
Right. I mean,
there's some form.
Yeah.
There's some form of this being done everywhere. Whether you call it SEL or you call it common sense,
there's
some component of this being used everywhere.
Right.
Because it's back to, I wish at my employer that we would spend time on toilet paper being thrown in our bathroom area because we've got a bunch of adults who pile that up. And we should do some SEL training there, probably.
I started out my statement with the fact of PBIS and SEL being two components, which is why I asked those questions at the last meeting. If you go back, I specifically asked about that, and it was clear that they were two different, but they're intertwined into the program. And anything that's intertwined can be untwined. So the thought that they can't be. So I'm with you, Brian. I do believe that there is a component of what we're using that should be kept, that is beneficial, but the totality of it is where I was at.
So what are we looking at? Are we asking for some type of reorganization within the system itself? Or is that what we're asking? To somehow incorporate PBIS and MindUp and Trails?
Are you asking me?
Yeah, I guess I'm throwing it out there for the universe. You know, is that what, you know?
I think
that,
our entire...
Would that help reduce that $4 million?
We need to be an education system that focuses on education, not a discipline-based education system that has, you know, a big proponent of our energy and time is being spent on discipline. And I'm suggesting that that has not shown successes up until this point. And so my suggestion is what I said at the very beginning. I think there's a component of PBIS that is beneficial, and I want to focus on education, and I believe that this is not something. So I think I've said it different ways. I don't know if I need to keep saying it.
Well, again, I think particularly in April, because I would agree with Brian that you can't go 100% one way. Otherwise, I'm convinced, again, like Brian, my wife is a teacher, or retired teacher. There's a lot of behavioral issues that will affect your education. If there's disruptions in the classroom, the kids aren't going to get educated. So we do need a certain amount of what I would refer more to as the PBIS function.
I agree.
To ensure that we have behaviors that are acceptable and don't contribute to disruptions in the classroom. That's where we need. What we need to decide in April is how much of that resource do we need to retain to ensure that we don't affect our academics.
So for now, it'd probably be best to be quiet and wait until April 1st and take a good look at how we can incorporate and save money.
I think that's part of
it's
what
part of
Andy's
discussing. It's part of what you're going to see on March 9th and on April 13th.
Okay, I you know
what you're going to see is how this can all work together, because when you're talking about we go back to grants. So the grants are designed in 31A, in particular, it's an at-risk grant, and mm-hmm. So the idea is to address your at-risk population. And for our district, as we saw last night, 65%, but go for any students, but it can be used for furthering academics and through tutoring and other mechanisms, just like we use it. In our world right here, we use it for some social workers, we use it for behavior techs, BCBA. So when we get into, and that's why when we can say PBIS, you can say SEL, at the end of the day, why we say it's intertwined, it's just we use the program Trails
to help just create that consistency, and that's part of the intertwinement of it. And so back to the curriculum side, where there's a direct expense, that's where it gets difficult. My point of all it is, though, is when we're talking about $5.5 million, a general fund, what we're talking about here is, yes, we can move things around, but your full elimination of what we considered SEL, okay, and that's a dealing, we'll get right down to nitty-gritty, that's dealing with students, and when we talk, and it's basically their emotions, okay, their emotions get carried away, and we have a disciplinary issue, right? And it gets in the way of academics. That amount of money, as you guys alluded to, that's a mixture of general fund and of
grants.
Yeah,
I saw that.
And so that's what that equals out to. So that's why we have to bring forward thought patterns here in March, high level, we can drill down. Because we also have to be thoughtful here is that our two other board members aren't here. You guys all have worked in industries where you could walk in tomorrow and your company say, you know something, we need to reduce $3 million and we're going to do that with 30 layoffs. And layoffs happen immediately. In our system, if we do anything of that sort, what's happening right now? I mean, all of our teachers are teaching, all of our employees are still working until, is it June 9th, I think? Right in there is our last day, okay? And we want them to stay focused on what they're doing. And so we also have to be very thoughtful in our system with all of our employees.
Sure.
Okay? And so that's why we're asking from you to stay high level with us in March. We're going to dig deeper on April 13th and then make some decisions at that point.
I think. Okay, back off. I'll let it go.
I think the mood of the room. I think you understand the mood of the room.
I do.
Okay. Yeah.
I think points have been made that are going to be considered.
Okay, very good. Yep.
Without having to go to the veto option right now.
Okay.
That's my opinion.
So we will hold off on this discussion until March 9th.
In April.
Yeah, can we keep this on the agenda going forward under, do you want to move it to old business? And we will keep it on the agenda.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
Obviously on the work session agendas.
Yep.
Okay, the next discussion under new business, I'll turn it over to you, Brian.
Yep. So as we're talking about money, and it was my understanding that we were on a hard freeze. That was my understanding. I look at the rehiring of John Ray at the $435 rate a day. And if I extrapolate out, this isn't going to be solved before spring break, likely. Then we're looking at $12,000 to be paid to John Ray. And I guess I want to know, I'm anxious to hear from you, Andy, the thought process. What was the tipping point? Kyle's been doing this for a while. Is he like a rubber band and he finally snapped and said, I can't do this? What moved us into this this action?
So what happened right here is we stretched Kyle all the way out. And what I mean by when I say all the way out, so he is also runs middle school. He also handles a large majority of our community ed programs. And so he's literally going anywhere and everywhere. And what I mean by that is from high school athletics to middle school athletics, staying in tune to the community ed. And so we knew also that we're heading into that period of time where we're going from a sport transition, you know, from fall to, or, I'm sorry, winter sports into spring. And so it is a heavy time right there because you're firing up sports, bringing sports to a close. And so it came to a point where we had asked him, and I'm going to go back first, we all were expecting this to be done, okay, and the whole process be over with and not be in the setting. And so when we went to Kyle back in November, December, that expectation that this would not have been lingering on this long. And so it came to a point for him where it's like, he needed help and so our one option we had was someone that had experience in doing that work. Now John Ray is he's only being paid for days that he is here, and so and when we have activities happening, and so I really, my goodness, I hope this does not go to a spring break.
Right. So the calculation is 435 by number of days, yeah. But you're telling me if Kyle's stretched pretty thin, it doesn't sound to me like there won't be many days that John Ray is not working.
So as we finish up, I want to make sure I speak clearly on this. So John Ray's here now, and so yes, it's at about, what would that be, just over about $2,500 a week.
Roughly. Something like that, yeah.
Yep. And so right now that's what, so each week that's what he's making from Monroe. And so my other worry I've had around athletics is we're trying to make sure we do not negatively impact athletics and making it so that games are that kids, that this does not negatively impact kids when it goes to competitions. And so that's the flip side, is keeping everything moving forward smoothly so that it doesn't have a negative impact. Because if it starts that, this whole situation has a negative impact on athletics, then we got a bigger problem.
And right. So who sets the rate of 435?
So that was that rate has been established in our HR office for a few years now for an administrator. So if we bring back if we need a substitute administrator and bring them in, that's the rate that they get, that they make. So it wasn't a different rate based on years of service or anything like that. It's already a rate that's pre-established.
And is it going to be John Ray's going to be the front facing point of Monroe Athletics now? You know what I mean by up front facing. He's going to be people I see at games.
Yes.
Or.
Yeah.
So in my opinion, that is.
Until the decision is made on our athletic director.
In my opinion, the optics of that are bad. And they're even worse if you're signaling to Dr. Hessen what his career looks like.
So it's an interim position, just like we had with.
I understand that. But you understand what I'm saying about the optics. If I'm looking at this. And I've been sitting for nearly 3 months now, close to 3 months.
Yep.
We're going to get close to 3 months. I hope we don't. We're going to get close to 3 months. I guess I'd also asked about proportionality at this point. Would anybody be gone for insubordination for 2.5 months? Because I believe what we decided was it was insubordination that got Chet in the situation that we're in right now.
Well, we didn't decide anything.
Right, we didn't. The board did nothing.
The board doesn't do anything.
I think you're I think you what you told
make
us
that clear.
Was that.
Yes.
Sorry, yes. Good. Thank you for doing that, Darla.
Yes. And so, but we're not in a position because there's still, the investigation is not finished. And so, and through our advice with talking with Jeremy through this, it's, and because of the rationale for putting Chet on leave, it now means we really need that investigation to be finished. And so that way we can, that's all done. And then at that point in time, based on the outcome of that investigation, we'll also then determine what's going to go on with Chet.
Unfortunately, we're paying two people.
Oh, I don't. I agree.
And we're paying an investigation.
Yep.
Back to Gary's point, we already are cash strapped in a way.
Yes, sir.
And so we're doing that. And this is frustrating to me. I don't like the optics. There's nothing I can do about it. You made the decision, and we're going to have to ride this thing out. But I was perfectly comfortable with John Ray doing behind the scenes stuff, but I am not perfectly comfortable with John Ray being the front facing portion of our AD. I would rather Kyle be seen as that and John supporting Kyle behind the scenes. If it were me.
Okay.
That's just me talking, information only.
So that just led me to one question. The dollar amount per day, that confused me. There was another staff member that's paid on a dollar amount per day. Mm-hmm. And so when I hear that, I'm like, oh, you're paid for an 8-hour day, you're paid for 30, whatever. Mm-hmm. But it sounded like you said that if he had to go to games and stuff, that he gets paid at a rate of 430. So I'm confused. Is he's working 8 hours a day, or is it just helping out? Is it just... That kind of confused me when you said that.
His day is that of a normal administrator. So he'll be in here 8-9 o'clock in the morning, because like on a game day, and then he'll be finishing up his day at whenever that game ends. So some days could be 8 hours.
So
other days could be 12
hours. The role as if it was his position? Yeah. Okay, I didn't understand that either.
He is, in effect, the interim athletic director right now at Monroe Public
School. I much prefer you say sub-athletic director. Interim is a tag that sounds much more official.
Yeah. Okay.
I was much more comfortable when you said sub-AD than interim AD. Mm-hmm. Interim implies something totally different to me.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Thank you for listening.
Any further discussion on this?
Good,
thanks. Very good. Then we will move into old business. Now to turn it over to Superintendent Shaw for the transportation discussion.
I appreciate that. So Cassie did need to step out tonight. Otherwise, she would be doing this part. Karen and Patty were able to work with Midwest Transit and with Hoekstra and were able to get us quotes. And so we were able to pull together a lot of information. And so there is a packet of information in front of you tonight that is about a bus purchase. And what we're asking and through here is that we're able to get used buses, and Karen can speak more about that in a moment. Seven used buses through Midwest Transit. Each bus is $84,190. So rather than what we've seen before is like $144,000 for a brand new bus, it's $84,190. These are diesels. There's no gas buses out there. Okay, but these are solid used buses, less than, I believe it's 50,000 miles or 40,000? 30 to 40,000 miles on these buses. So those seven regular ed buses, along with the two that you already have, will give us two brand new and then seven roughly new buses. There's also a lift bus into this project. That lift bus is should be right about $177,000 roughly. And so when we put the whole package together, we made sure to look at the camera systems that needs to go on buses. And so we put that all in there. And we have on the front page for you the from Monroe Community Credit Union all the way from Huntington Bank, Fifth Third, and American Capital Financing, different rates. And so we have those quotes there. The loan payback will be roughly $300,000 starting in annually in January of 2027. And the reason being is that addresses all cash flow issues. And so that's when it would start, and it'd be annually each year. And so the reason why, though, it sits, the request is at $850,000, not to exceed amount, has to do with just we're waiting for that final exact amount for that lift bus. The rest are all, we already know what those numbers are, those are firm. And these are none of these buses will be delivered until after July 1st. So that's the information we have. Your decision tonight is, do you want to make this a recommendation? Do you want, is there something else you need? One last piece of information. When we were looking at our future budget, and is that we're looking at it from the lens of what can we work to handle? And so $300,000 is where we were really sitting. We wanted to try and keep it as low, so that's why instead of having, for example, more used buses on that list, all that does is move the prices up. So $300,000 was where we wanted to stay. And the reason why we picked $300,000 was in 4 years it won't be here, but it was trying, is that that would allow in 4 years from now to start that rotation of buses. And so knowing that they're roughly about $144,000 now, maybe in 4 years they're still only at $150,000. Yeah. I know, we can all laugh at that one a little bit. But it's still relatively closer than, you know, for example, having a $200,000 loan or something like that. So the idea is that we'd already be somewhat used to it. So we wanted to pull that together. This has been on our old business as discussion, and so we were able to pull this information together for you. So just need it's discussion. So is there, we don't...
Well, we can certainly entertain a motion if someone would want to make a motion regarding
do you want to discuss it? Because it's new business, we don't have to have a motion. We can just discuss it.
Yeah. I think we're at the point where we should make a motion, then we can have discussion with a motion.
Yeah.
But I'm not making the motion.
But you can have a discussion on old business without a motion if you would like to. I was just going to ask a few questions.
Okay, go ahead.
Whatever you want to do it.
Well, if no one's willing to put a motion out there, then we can continue discussion. Okay, so ask away.
So my first question was, why didn't we buy used for the other two?
They weren't available. These buses aren't going to be available until after January or July 1st.
Oh, okay.
At least returns that the manufacturers get back.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I understand that.
Good point.
So we talked about the need for the two buses in order to get the routes and decrease bus times, at least for those ones that are over 2 hours, right? So we looked at the rest of the fleet, and I think you said the rest of the fleet is, besides the Lyft bus in need, the rest of it's functioning, and it's working, right? And we're looking at a future replacement. Is that what the conversation was? So the reason I say that is because we've got discussion coming up on March 9th about finances. We got discussion coming up. You know, we've got the loan payments. I just wanted to get a clarifying point, like, where is the point of we can't hold off any longer? The two are coming, and that fulfills the needs that we had. The rest is replacement of old stuff, right?
No, I don't feel like that really replaces the needs of what you guys need.
Yeah.
So we retired a whole bunch of buses.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we are at a point now that we do not have capacity to keep adding more routes to service our kids.
Okay.
So we took care of the two in the north, which are the longest routes, but they are not the only longer routes. And our buses are running full. So as our students increase or their needs change and they need to be on a bus, I don't have the capability to do that.
Okay.
So we're at that point, which is why we're bringing it now instead of 5 years ago when we retired the buses, is because now we're at that point that if we don't get the buses in, we're going to have to make some decisions with you guys on who's getting transportation, how does that look like, are we increasing walking zones? We're going to have to make some modifications.
Right. And that's where I wanted to get to the point of where we're at, so we're all clear of where we're at.
Yeah.
So I was looking for clarification on that, so thank you for supplying the bottom line there. So.
Since I've been here, I mean, we've let go 15 buses.
Right. We remember
that. That's a big chunk.
Yeah.
Continue what Darla was saying. They're not available till July 1st, so we can't use them this year.
Correct.
Right now, as you heard the discussion earlier, mm-hmm. our budget is really up in a flux right now, okay? Can we wait until March 15th or April 1st?
The problem with that is if I tell him, I've actually got a meeting with these people tomorrow. Yeah, if somebody else says, hey, we want those buses, they do not have a whole lot of them that are coming back mm-hmm. as lease returns because they're three-year-old buses, so these were like, there wasn't a whole bunch that were being leased out, and say, during COVID. So these lease returns that are coming back, I don't remember without looking at it how many they had. But
10.
We'll possibly miss out on it if we don't move
and to get
tomorrow.
And the buses
right?
that mm-hmm. are the lease returns are the same as the 2021s we currently have in our fleet.
So tomorrow, you were hoping to give them a yay or nay in order to secure those
Correct.
That are and at the cost and the price that they are, or we'd be looking at $150,000 for a new bus for times 10.
Correct.
Yeah. So they have 10 available right now.
Yeah.
So that's it.
Yeah. Sometimes we just need to make sure we're real clear about why we're doing, why we're spending the money
Absolutely.
We're spending and why we're doing it right now. So I know you've been very patient with us and you've given us a lot of information and we truly appreciate that.
Yeah.
I know.
And we didn't want to come ask for something until we actually needed to put it into play.
Yeah.
So, and that's where we're at.
And this is an opportunity right now with those
Correct.
Buses.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I can tell
like
the way you're looking.
Can't
you're like, just say yes already.
I know, right?
right?
I mean, it's not very often that this pricing comes in with
problem.
That low a mileage.
Yeah. That's why I was like, why didn't we do this
returns.
Sooner?
They have lease returns in past years, but I mean, still, those were probably 112, for a three-year-old bus, and I mean, $85,000 is the best price I've ever come across.
Right.
So one of the things that may help this whole conversation is, again, as we have been working on next year's budget, we need to stay at that $300,000 number. Okay, that was, and so if you look at $850,000, that's that loan amount. What that would mean is, yeah, instead of getting seven regular buses, you'd be getting four.
Right.
Okay, if you had to buy new, if we said, we're not going to do it tonight, we're going to wait. Okay, we're only going to get four regular ed, we're going to get the one lift bus. So what you're really getting is three more buses for the price of four brand new.
Well, I guess I'm just looking for a little bit more clarification on where we stand financially.
So,
because it seems like
this is already,
we got some tough decisions.
Yeah, this is already built into the $5.5 million reduction. So we build in to have a balanced budget for on June 30th. It's a $5.5 million reduction in expenses, okay? So this $300,000 reflects that for next year. So it's we've already built that this number in to that number.
Okay. I see where you're coming from. All right.
Well, yeah. I mean, it is now because this opportunity just came up with the buses at this price. And
we've known for a few weeks that we were going to have to build in a reduction. Build this in something for buses or nothing for buses.
Right, but it's great that we're finding it at the price that we're finding it at now.
And this is a great opportunity because our drivers also are familiar with this series, so that means less training we have to do with them.
As well as our
mechanics are already familiar with the buses. So.
Because when we talked about this before, this wasn't even on the horizon of these leases come available.
No.
Right.
We were talking gas buses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Yeah, they just
good job finding it.
Okay. Yeah. Our,
I don't know how you find stuff like that, but good job.
Yeah, that's a lot of work.
Watches all for you.
Yeah.
The two buses that you guys did
the salespeople,
a few
right?
weeks ago, we're getting them on Friday. So.
Oh, good. Good. Yeah. Good. Good. I knew there was a little hold up there, so congratulations.
Okay. Given the discussion, would anybody like to make a motion now?
Yeah, I move to approve the purchase of one new lift bus. Are we putting the lift bus in there right now?
Yes, please.
Okay. The lift bus and seven used buses. Wait a minute. I thought there were 10.
No, there's 10 available. We're only at
seven.
This is what we can afford.
Right.
We're only asking for seven.
Yeah, but at that price, we're gonna need them anyway.
Well, we already got the two new ones.
That's nine, ten. All right, I will start all over. I move to approve the purchase of one new lift bus and seven used buses from Midwest Transit Equipment. The purchase, the security video equipment and installment by Red Letter with a total not to exceed $850,000. And to award the vehicle financing bid to Monroe County Community Credit Union at a fixed rate of 3.58% and reject all other bids. This purchase include all associated equipment necessary for safe and lawful operation, including installed camera systems, required safety features, and any related delivery or preparation costs. The purchase agreement will be funded through the general fund.
Support.
Further discussion? Hearing none, Jamie, can we have roll call, please?
Yes, Mrs. Tarasi.
Yes.
Mr. Jenkins.
Yes.
Ms. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Sabadini.
Yes.
Mr. Hutt.
Yes, and the motion carries.
That's probably the longest motion I've ever read.
That's well,
thank
no
you very much.
To make the motion. Okay.
You know, thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Darla, I would agree. That was a whale of a motion. Our next item is state fiscal monitoring update. So this, we did have that meeting yesterday with the state of Michigan. And it was exactly the same meeting we've had each month. We went over, they asked questions around cash flow. They asked questions around, have there been any changes on your board? They asked questions around staffing. So it's all the same stuff. The one question I asked out of them this time, though, was I needed to know what creates the next level of state involvement. Next level of state involvement trigger is simply you have a deficit budget. So that would mean is that on June 30th, instead of presenting a balanced budget to you, we present a budget to you that shows us going negative numbers. So instead of minus $500,000, which means we spend all the general funding, we're down. That would create that next trigger then for the state to be involved. So that's where we live. So our job is to continue to. That you'll hear me say this many times, probably on March 9th and April 13th, you will have a balanced budget presented to you on June 30th. because we this is a requirement, not by the state of Michigan, but by us, that we have to have a balanced budget so that we can begin adding back to fund balance. And so that's what, so it's the normal call that we've had each month. So nothing different except for that one question I did ask of them.
Okay.
So I have 2 points to that. The one is, so we're meeting on March 9th. The next meeting's not until April 16th. Are we going to have a meeting in May so that we can review and make any adjustments before the June final date? Because, you know, we the board want to be able to have our input. And so that after the April conversation.
So on your March 9th and your April 13th conversations will be more, it's all around the parameters of the budget. And so we also have to implement contracts and following of timelines if there's any kind of reduction of staff or any other programming changes. And so that's what that heavy work will happen at that point in time. And so when we meet over that, we can do updates to you as a board, but when it comes down right down to it, we have to reduce by $5.5 million, has to be general fund dollars. And how are we going to get there?
And at the same time, there may be differences in how the board sees that things should be funded.
March 9th and April 13th. Well,
so my request is instead of after the April meeting, we go right to a vote on the budget. Can we please have a time to review what the final comes out to, so we can look at it before and see if there's anything that needs.
I would ask it before we even. That let's get through March 9th and April 13th to see what you're going to need from those two after those two meetings, please.
I think March 9th is going to tell us a whole lot.
Well, April 13th will actually be your more defining moment.
So? Okay.
That meeting right there will be your more defining
moment. So the answer is no, we're not going to put in something on May.
At this point in time,
it's hard to get stuff on. Well, I just want to put it on the agenda. Yeah. So in a work session, so it's scheduled on there. If we want to take it off,
we already have.
So if we want to take it off, we can take it off. We've already scheduled two. We scheduled March and April. I'm suggesting we put one on for May because the decision we made by June 30th, right? Balanced budget's due by June 30th, right?
Yes. But
yes. Okay.
Cassie will not have. For what you're going to ask for, she will not have a budget ready for you. We'll still be finishing up all the stuff. That's why when it comes.
So can we have an update in May before we go to the finalized in June? Can we please put that on the calendar? Yep. And we can talk after May, March. We can talk it after April to see where May is. But I'd like it on there so that it's on there. So if we need it, we have it.
It can be on there.
Thank you. The other part of that is when they ask about a cash flow, and you said that you have to answer of cash flow, like what is the answer on cash flow that you give? I don't know.
She's
I'm just here.
I can. So
but don't,
they have a screen that they're working off of. And so she has to, Cassie, every month provides them a status update of information. And so they just ask questions based off what was given. I couldn't tell you any further than that. Like, for example, like cash on hand today is X number. I don't know that.
So
it's a little bit more difficult because they don't have a steady every month. You
right,
don't have
income. Right. Yeah. But he brought it up that they have to give a cash flow status. And so my answer was, what was the cash flow status? Because this is supposed to be an update on the financials on this update.
It's probably the cash account status.
Again, this is supposed to be an update.
Can you put it in
board brief? We will put more information in board brief than we did last time.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That should have been simple.
Okay, any other further discussion on the budget and the state fiscal monitoring? And I'll turn it over to Superintendent Shaw for his second comments.
All right. So a calendar reminder that Wednesday, March 9th is a half day for teacher PD. Eighth grade open house, Monroe High School will hold its annual eighth grade open house on March the 5th. Celebrating Children, the annual celebrating of children hosted by Child Advocacy Network in Monroe is Saturday, March 7th. March is reading month. Some of you are already getting notices that go read in buildings. So please go have a great time with that. Mm-hmm. It should be a wonderful, wonderful month right there. And that's all I have tonight, sir.
Okay, next public commentary. Brian, do we have any additional public commentary?
Yes, we do. Veronica, if you want to make your way to the podium.
As you know, you've been here enough. It's 3 minutes. I'm not running the timer on 3 minutes. I think you can police yourself, but if I think it's getting close, I'll let you know.
I just had a couple of quick questions. I got the sickness that everybody's getting, and so I wasn't able to attend last night, so I watched it from home on the live stream. And there was just multiple times where there was conversations happening that people weren't speaking into the microphone, so if we could just be more cognizant of that. Sure. There was one time that, like, Andy had to get up and go talk over. He was, like, talking about the strategic plan, so I couldn't hear anything he was saying. Mm-hmm. And it's my job of the Board of Ed reporter for the teachers union. It's hard for me to do that if I can't hear. I try to come to almost every meeting, which you guys see me here, so you know I am here if I can, but I was very sick. But the other question was the strategic plan, because I couldn't see it. Is there a way to get a copy of it? Is that something that we can have?
Can I handle that one, please?
Go.
So that, the strategic plan has just a few more markups, and then it will actually be pushed out publicly later this week, and then on Monday, during my Monday mingle, I'm going to go over it. And
okay.
It will be emailed out to all staff as soon as a few more tweaks.
We didn't. Okay. Did we vote on that?
You've already voted on it back in December.
Okay. I thought we were changing the picture in it.
We are, but the picture can always come back in later on.
I'm just trying to follow along here because I thought there was...
Wendy has already removed the picture and going to put a little...
We're not going to have a photo that goes to the staff because you couldn't take it tonight, so it's
Without
any photo.
So
I'm just catching up where everybody else is at, so thank you, Wendy.
Yeah. We will...
just caught me off guard.
Yeah. We want to get that... That will be published to you before this week is over.
Okay.
Or not.
And
yeah,
then the microphone thing, also, like, whoever's standing here. Like, I know yesterday there was three guys, and they had a lot of great stuff to say, but the guy over here.
We'll make sure they get in right in front of the mic.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I know that's frustrating. I remember when I was sitting out there like you, and sorry, I'm doing it right now.
We had a certain member who never wanted to speak. This is how he sat. So
we'll have a cordless mic in the future, too, so that... we can move about. So thank you for that.
Yeah, on that, I even asked someone that was watching. I said, could you hear people last night? Because I thought there might be a concern there.
Any other public commentary?
That is all, Mr. Heck.
Okay, thank you. Board member commentary. Anybody with comments tonight? I'll start with Stacy today.
I'm glad that we approved the buses for tonight, but I think it shows the importance of putting it in a rotation of replacing the buses.
Okay, Gary.
Nothing more. I spoke more tonight than I usually do.
We liked it, Gary.
I said what was on my mind, so it's all
good. That's good.
You know,
that's good.
I still like all you guys.
We like you too.
Darla?
I just want to say, please come out to the mall. I will be out there with a booth with another community organization for the Children's Advocacy Network. So bring your kids.
When is that?
Grandkids. It's on Saturday. It's from 11 to 2, I believe is
what
it is.
Is that when they have all the groups with tables?
Yeah, everybody will be set up by, I think they start setting up early. I don't know.
At the mall.
I'm not the one in charge. I'm just going to help, so.
Okay.
But I think it's...
Are we having a booth there?
Yeah. Did I say that Saturday? You're right. March 7th.
Oh, a week from Saturday. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Brian?
I enjoyed the community partnership update last night. It was great. Lauren Haynes, I already see that we got an email from her. I think we all collectively strongly encourage, and it's a no-brainer, that we give some space next year to her. So, and I know I already know you guys are on that, but it's already done.
Nice. I'll then report it out. Come on, David.
easy there. I'll turn my mic off.
Okay. I agree, and I'm hoping we can make some collaboration with Rosie and Ike and Larry. I know they're well respected with certain demographics in this community, so they can be a big help.
And with the community mental health, at least in them, so they're a great community resource. You know, how do we send and how do people know to go utilize those sources? So I think all of them. So yes, focus on community, focus on those organizations. I think is a very good thing. So thank you for setting that up, Andy.
I think that's amazing. We have the resource for the behavioral urgent care,
because that is the modus of how everything's going. The University of Michigan has their own entrance for behavioral emergencies. I think almost every major hospital system is moved in that direction already or is moving in that direction. Yeah. So
this is the only third in the state.
That's great, but I'm saying hospital systems are already doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great that we have. I drove by there tonight as I was coming to the admin building. I'm thinking, that's awesome that that's there.
Okay. Can I double dip?
I'll let you tonight.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Since you've talked so much already.
I did talk a little bit. I had already talked to David, and I spent last week with the people from RAW, which is Recovery Advocacy Warriors, okay? They are setting up a program for our kids that if somebody goes to David or to Terry and says, I got a kid with substance abuse, send them to us, and they're going to set up a behavioral program with therapists and along with peer counseling that we'll have some place to go in the future with our kids that have substance abuse problems. They're putting it together. They're going to contact me when it's done, and I will pass it on to David and Terry so you'll guys will know who to work with.
Awesome.
You know, can I go triple dip? Triple dip?
You can take
Mike. You're on a roll.
So I'm on a goddarn roll tonight. Goodness gracious. You know, I'm sorry. The ESS thing with the space is a wonderful idea.
Yeah.
And hearing those people talk last night and knowing about RAW, is there some way we can have a space for all of them together? A central area? I don't know. I just be throwing it out there. That they are actually going to be a part of this program, so we don't have to see these kids in disciplinary anymore, you know?
That would be the goal. That would certainly be the
just
goal.
Just an idea, guys. Just throwing it out there. Now, I promise I'll be quiet.
You haven't used okay. Stacy's third time yet.
She told me it was okay.
Okay.
The only thing I have to add, just for everybody's information, I'm on vacation next week, but obviously need to get a hold of me, you can text or phone.
Okay.
I always leave that open, despite Donna's objections. So, and hopefully the next meeting, everybody's back and healthy, all of us.
Jeez.
Yeah.
And that's all I have for tonight. Okay. That concludes our agenda. Our next regular Board of Education meeting will be held on Tuesday, March 10th, 2026.
Could have a motion to adjourn.
Oh, we'll begin at 7 p.m. The board session will be held before the regular board meeting beginning at 5:30 p.m. Can I get a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Can I get support?
Support.
Show of hands. Monroe Public Schools Board of Education meeting for Tuesday, February 24th, 2026 adjourned, and the time is 7:12.
Now let's all go home.